Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is live. We're live with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, you too. Hi, everybody.
Just want to mention that tomorrow, well, today and tomorrow, actually, my wife and I are guests on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine, and we're sharing tips on blended families, and we are talking specifically about bonus parenting, 10 different things, and it's a two-part series. We'll be on today and tomorrow, so if you're a listener or not to Family Life Today, this is the day, and I think you'll like it. My wife was, I mean, she was so good. After she did those programs, they walked up to her and said, could you speak at our conference that we're having on blended families in North Carolina? And so we're going to be doing that in just a couple of weeks. Pretty exciting there. Anyway, glad you're all with us here today. And if you ever need help, you know the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And one of the most helpful things that's been developed in a long time is Dave and I, we partnered together on a new book. It's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. And these books have been so popular. The one on borderline personality disorder, Focus on the Family, uses that in their counseling department. Post-traumatic stress, attention deficit disorder, my favorite. I mean, there are just so many of these that are having an impact. And Dave, you really, not only you approach all of this, you're a professional, but with you it is personal.
Yes, it is. And it's what we learned in the process of getting on board with the real healing process with our son back some 30 years ago now. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But he's been clean and sober for almost 30 years, and we've been rejoicing in getting our son back. So a lot of what I share in the book has to do with things we learned along the way, because we had a lot to learn. Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of help for people, for family members who had problems with their children or even other adults in their family with drug addiction especially.
Well, let me ask you a really personal, humiliating question, okay?
Okay.
So why did it take so long for you to learn it, you know, which is the question, you know, for other people? Why do people just continue to try what they're trying and not do some of the things that you've finally learned? What do you think it is?
Well, part of it for us was there wasn't much information available back then in terms of help, and they didn't refer you to Al-Anon or anything like that. They didn't even see it as a family illness until we finally got in a program that forced us to do it. There was a young man who sat across from me in group, and when I introduced myself and said my son has a problem, he almost came off his chair. And he said, that's what my dad said when he started this program. He said, you're going to find out you're here because you have a problem. And that was a wake-up call that made the journey very different and very meaningful and very healing.
Well, there are a lot of books on alcoholism, addiction, codependency. Here's a great one, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. When you understand them and you love them, you want to help them. You want to give them the very best help possible. That's what this book does. A gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. Absolutely send it to you. Maybe before the program's over, we can talk about what are some of the signs that I just might be enabling the problem rather than help it. We'll take this break, and we'll come right back after this. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's amazing. A phone call could be the beginning of a totally different existence on this planet. We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Don't get into a reactive lifestyle. And if you are, we've got hope for you with Take Your Life Back. It's a workshop. It's a book. It's a whole new way of living. It's a whole new world, like out there at Disneyland. Let's go to Victoria, Melbourne, Florida, listening on a podcast, and we're really glad that she is. Victoria, thanks for holding on. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
We're doing all right, I really think.
Good.
Yeah. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I got bold enough to approach my husband one day. And I packed my bag, and I said, I'm going to be staying not too far from here until you accept getting treatment for BPD disorder. And he's BPD and MPD.
You're talking about borderline personality disorder.
Yes. And I have
and
your
you're saying multiple personality disorder also?
No, narcissist.
Oh, he's a narcissist. And okay.
Yes.
All right. So so that's what you said to someone who's borderline and a narcissist. I don't suspect that he fell to his knees in tears saying, please, I'll do anything you want me to do.
Nope.
Nope, didn't do that. All right. So what did he do?
It's been 3 years now and he didn't do it.
Okay.
He came back after 2 years. He left. He left before I could even leave because he was going out first before me. And he took everything. He took all the savings, all the accounts. He washed me. I mean, he even disconnected my electricity.
Oh my goodness.
He went from this person that I was soulmate, that you're the best thing, to a monster. Like, a switch. And I already expected that he was going to throw a fit because that was his fifth time leaving. That wasn't his first time. But this time I was the one who was going to leave him. Because every time he would leave, I would try to figure out what was going on. And it took a toll on my organization, on me. And so long story short, that was not the problem. I moved away an hour and a half. I got a new job, left very far away, and moved with my son. And I got organized. I went to a psychiatrist. I went to a counselor. I started on medications to get healthier. I went back to exercising. I actually joined a church. And I'm still 2 years later in that small group, you know, with that church.
Oh, God.
And I have done two missionary trips already with them. So I'm blessed that I'm not in that house anymore because I was walking on eggshells. I had no identity of myself.
Okay. So how can we help you today? What's the question for us then, given what you've been through?
So I didn't file for divorce. He did. So now we're back. So now I went to court. You know, everything was kind of like still, like no communication, nothing. Everybody living their own life, but we're still married. So he filed for a divorce. So I had to come to obviously, sign off or mediate or stuff like that. And he had been filing an affidavit, and on the affidavit that I got a copy because I had to go hire an attorney, he put there where he works now.
Okay, so ask us a question that we can help you with, okay?
So due to his mental issues, because I've been living, I can tell you, I can predict to you what his actions are, and I have many, many episodes of how he behaves. Should I call his employer and make him aware? Because where he works now, he's a living dorm parent at a school academy that have children from kindergarten all the way to high school. I didn't make it. I didn't want to know anything more about him. I wanted to just leave my life. But when I saw that and I looked it up, I saw that it was an academy. It was a school of children. And he wasn't doing that job. He's been self-employed.
So you want to know whether or not you should let them know that he's not a person of character. Is that right?
And how much should I disclose? I mean, if I call, how much should I disclose and who should I talk to? And I don't know if it's my responsibility or not. I'm still his wife until today. I mean, until now. But I haven't, for a month, I've been praying on this. And
okay, so we need to help you here because I know you've got a lot to say about it, and this is a tough one because you don't have any evidence that anything he's doing is impacting any of the students there.
Exactly.
Dave, you're a wise human being. What are you thinking when you hear this?
I'm not sure what you hope to accomplish, Victoria, because I don't think it'll accomplish anything positive. When you confronted him, you wounded him. If he's a narcissist, it was a narcissistic wound, and it escalated. He got you rather than dealt with the issue. And I think if you were to try to interfere with his job, you'd encounter the same kind of wrath and rage and vindictiveness. And I think that you have to allow that to go on the way it is. There's nothing that he's done as a borderline or a narcissist, and those are pretty similar. It's hard to know which one he is. There's nothing that you've done that will help him get help, and that you're just going to be in a battle with him for the rest of your son's life, probably. But I wouldn't want to escalate it any more than it already has escalated, just because of it's not going to produce anything constructive.
You know, Alice, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on this.
I think Dave said it. I don't have more to add to that, except that, Victoria, I just want to encourage you to keep going on this healing path. You have turned the focus on yourself, and that's what we keep talking about, that your husband, ex-husband, is out of your control. What he does is out of your control, his lack of getting help. But you have done, it sounds like, everything that you can do to be healthy for your son. And I think keeping that focus on yourself and the steps that you're taking will provide for the best future for you and your son that way.
All right, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back because I'm going to, I hear that. I'm going to, I mean, it sounds like you are really consumed with him and what he does and, you know, all of the different aspects, like you're still right there in the throes of it. I think Take Your Life Back will help you with that, to experience some independence and some freedom. That would be my hope and prayer for you, and I'm going to send that to you. Well, I tell you, it is really tough. You know, somebody doesn't have character, and I always, if I know specific data that would jeopardize the life of a young person, or, you know, that they would be victimized by it, well, then I want that reported, you know. But here, we don't really have any information that anything is impacting, but she is really stuck on who he is and what he's doing, and I want her to be free of that. Any comments from you two guys before we move on?
No, it's I think when somebody has a lot of narcissism in them, there's a very sensitive, fragile sense of who they are. And when we attack that, even justifiably attack that, they don't take it well. And it doesn't. There's nothing you can do much to help somebody like that, especially as a layperson. Even as professionals, we have very little that we can do to help.
That's right. It makes
me think of the Serenity Prayer, of turning these things over to God so that, God, you show me what's in my control, what's out of my control, help me to know the difference, and then have the courage to do something about it. And that is such a good go-to prayer in situations like this.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. All the things that we can do when we're married, not a lot we can do after we are married. Let's go to Kirk Springfield, Illinois, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. That's where he tunes in. Hi there. How you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. How can we help?
Let me give you a little background, if you don't mind, here. We'd been married for nearly 30 years when I suffered a severe injury riding my bicycle. Mm. And that injury required, it damaged some nerves. And nerves are pretty serious issues to deal with instead of regular flesh. Anyway, I was required to make multiple trips to Mayo Clinic, where I was diagnosed, then required to have surgery to repair the damage. I was told by my doctor that due to the severity of the damage, and that because the damage had been to nerves, that I would probably experience substantial pain for many years to come, and perhaps even the rest of my life. Because of this, he advised me to have a drug pump implanted in my abdomen, because it would be so much more efficient in taking painkillers orally. At this time of our marriage, we were having some troubles. I admit that, but we had not sought out any help. Also at this time, I had recently inherited a rather large sum of money from an uncle. Well, we go to Mayo Clinic for my surgery and all, and when we get home, my wife walks, and she later then files for divorce. And as I hear is most generally the case, I started finding out other tidbits of information, of course, after the fact. I found out that she had been running this uncle all over the area, doing a lot of his personal business and things. And when the divorce was over, she ends up getting nearly half of my inheritance for herself. And my question, and there's a whole lot of other issues that add to this too, but my deal is, I took the vows 30-some years ago, and I meant every word I said, for better, for poor, richer, sickest, all that. Well, first of all, I'm having trouble forgiving my ex-wife because she didn't obviously mean the vows when she took them. I'm having trouble forgiving her, and I live in a small town of here, and I'm always running into her, you know. And I even had to stop taking the newspaper because she's involved in a lot of organizations here. I only wish those people knew the same person I did, I tell you. Anyway, I had to stop taking the newspaper because of it, and I'm still running into her and seeing her. Sometimes when I run into her, she'll turn around and follow me or do something like that. But my problem is, I have now established a great relationship with my church and many members at my church. I have a nice support group at my church here in town. I'm wondering if it would be better if I gave everything up and just moved away and tried to start out with not knowing anybody at all and starting over somewhere else, or if you think it would be better if I stayed here with my support groups and my friends and my church and try to go from here.
Okay, great question, and I think one that so many people, they wish they had the luxury to go either way there, you know. Just my first reaction is that, you know, whenever we make a decision to move on, it just rarely ever resolves very much. It can in some issues, but most likely the problem, it just, you know, just stays right there with us and pretty frustrating because you go to all this trouble to move on and you're the one that moves and you wake up one day and you realize I'm still with me and the problem's still here. And
that's what my son told me too.
Yeah, it's usually pretty tough. What do you guys think, Dave, Alice?
You know, I think of that saying that, you know, that wherever I go, there I am. I think wherever you'd go, there she is. Because you would take her with you in your head, and there would be reminders of it. I think you've got to work on the forgiving aspect of it, because that helps you. It doesn't help her at all. It helps you release the past and release the pain. And
I'm really struggling with that. Like I said, I thought I knew this person. I'd been with her for more than 30 years, and I had no idea she could lead me. I was bedridden. I didn't even care for myself.
And she's got a reputation.
If my mother hadn't been in the town, I don't know what I would have done.
She's got a reputation for copping out when things get tough, and there are people who know that, and you don't need to worry about that. But when we come back after the break, I want to talk to you about forgiveness and why it only helps you. It has nothing to do with her.
Yeah, that's the best thing that we can help you with, is to come to grips with, I simply have to forgive this woman.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. So, Kirk, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, so Dave's going to help you with the thing that you don't want to do, the thing that is most difficult to do, but the thing you have to do. Man, I'm telling you, when you forgive her, your life is your life again. And until then, she owns you. Not just half of that inheritance that she took, but she owns everything until you can finally, you know, come to that place where you just don't need to even think about what's going on in her life, and you're free. But Dave, go ahead and help him to forgive what hard to forgive.
Forgiving is canceling a debt you can't collect. Mm-hmm. And she owes you all kinds of things because she ditched you in the midst of your pain and suffering. But she's bankrupt. She can't pay you, and she wouldn't pay you. So nothing's going to change with her. So Jesus says that we forgive as we've been forgiven, which is no strings attached. And That simply means she doesn't owe you anymore, and you walk around a free man. She doesn't even need to know that you've forgiven her, because it all has to do with you. Most of us think of forgiveness and reconciliation as being kind of hooked together. You can only forgive when you can reconcile. But reconciliation means the other person has to own their part of it, and she's not going to do that. So it can't stop you from forgiving, because you're the only beneficiary of the forgiveness, and you're free. Pat Conroy has a saying in one of his books. He says, "On the day I forgave my father, my life began." And that was my story, and I know it's a lot of other people's story, and that'll be your story. The day you forgive her and cancel the debt that she could never pay you and never will pay you.
It's just been so difficult, like I said, because it's a small community, and I'm always running into her, and I had to quit taking the paper because of her picture being in there all the time. And I've tried to do things to eliminate it, but things pop up, you know.
But every time something pops up, you remind yourself that she's been forgiven by you. You don't hold anything against her. And God will get her for that. You know, there's another old saying that says the best revenge is to live well. And you can do that by living well, and you can live well because you've done the forgiving work. And we're going to send you the book, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. And it explains a lot of that in there.
Well, and Dave, as you mentioned God, I wonder, Kirk, if there is understandable, justifiable anger in you at God, not just your wife, during that time for you to have lost so much, we don't even know the full physical impact that you went through, and then to have her rob you of your money as well. I want to encourage you to consider trying to access your anger both towards God and towards her, but sharing that with these people that you've been doing life with in your church. Steve talks about getting to something called a healthy or an amused attachment in The Choices of Healing, in one of his books that he's written, where we can make the changes in ourselves because we go through these steps of releasing our anger, grieving, and even addressing God directly with it. That's from Healing as a Choice. And I think you have a lot of power in going that path so that you can get freedom no matter where you live.
All right. I appreciate everything you've given me here to work with. And I'm glad that you said what you did, because quite frankly, I hated to think of the fact of uprooting and trying to start completely over. Like I said, I really cherish the relationships I have built in my current church, and I really didn't want to lose them.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, because you may not ever find those relationships again. You know, they just may be a gift that you never are able to reproduce. So glad you called. Hold on. We'll send Forgiving What It Is So Very Hard to Forget. Dave, before we go to the break, in the book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction, you talk about enabling. Now, what are the symptoms, some concrete symptoms that I could look at for myself and say, okay, that's enabling? What would that look like?
Well, I was a master at enabling. I felt I had power to change things by the way I behaved. I would cover for his debt. When he got in trouble with the law, I would bail him out. I did things that he should have been doing for himself, but he couldn't and wouldn't, and so I filled in the gap. And it's well-meaning, and yet it's what maintains the problem. And that's what I had to learn, and that's what I had to change, because what I changed was he became responsible for the things that he did and didn't do, and I backed out of that responsibility except to turn it over to God and let him deal with him directly.
Okay. Was there anything else that you could say, boy, this is a big red flag. If you're doing this, that's what we call enabling, and there's a better way.
Well, you're covering for him. I worked with a lady who didn't understand that, and she was engaged to an alcoholic who had relapsed. And so she would go over and cook him food because he needed to eat. She would go and buy him more wine because she didn't want him driving. She was doing all kinds of things for him that enabled him to continue his dependency upon the alcohol. And when she finally got into Al-Anon and listened to the things I was telling her, she stopped doing those things. And within a matter of a week, he got help and he got into rehab. He didn't need to do it before because she was covering all the bases for him and doing for him all the things that he needed to do himself but wouldn't. And
How?
It was well-meaning. She had good rationale for it, but it was the wrong thing to do. It just maintained the problem rather than confronting and ending the problem.
How many times do we hear it doing all of the wrong things for all of the right reasons?
That's a good definition.
Well, sometimes we even do the wrong things for the wrong reasons.
Well, you do it to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. We'll be back after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you of several ways you can catch New Life Live if you miss us on the radio. All of our shows are archived at newlife.com, so you can listen at your convenience, and you can see what questions were asked on each program. New Life Live is also available as a podcast in the New Life Live app, so you can go listen online if you'd like. And you can stream us live at 10 a.m. Pacific time at newlife.com. And if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. You'll get special offers, connection, and encouragement. Now back to you, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Debbie from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, we're glad you called. How could we help?
Go ahead.
How could we help you?
This is my situation. I homeschooled all my children, and when my youngest, who was my only daughter, went away to college, she joined the college, it was a sports team, and she's just an amazing athlete, and everything was, she was adjusting well, and then she told me she meets her new best friend, and her and I were super, super close, maybe codependent, maybe too close. And so she tells me that this girl that she met, who's her best friend, is was previously in a lesbian relationship. So, of course, I warned her about that and, you know, told her about the dangers of that. And she said, oh, Mom, don't worry about it. You know, somebody can't make you gay. So this went on. She was friends with her for at least 2 years. And off and on, my husband and I would talk to her and say, look, this doesn't feel right, you know. And she would adamantly deny anything. And then finally, she asked her to bring her to a family wedding. And I just said, you know, this is too strange. This feels uncomfortable. And I kept pushing her, and she finally admitted that she was in a relationship with this girl for 2.5 years. So, like, I had had her over my house. They had, you know, slept over. I mean, it was,
yeah,
I was devastated. And she
very
told me
tough.
That she's not gay. That is, she doesn't see male or female. It's just a body part, which seems to be kind of like a new
rationalization.
Thing.
Rationalization.
Right, right. Okay.
So
actually, what's the question for us?
About 8 months.
Okay. No, I was just going to ask you what's the question, but you've been grieving
about 8 months. Here's the question. Is that the way we're handling it is that we're accepting our daughter. We're not, you know, just banishing her or anything like that. I have the same relationship with her, but we're just not accepting her relationship with this other girl, which means that, you know, she doesn't bring her over or anything like that. She doesn't even mention her. And it's just so difficult because there's always this elephant in the room, you know, and she'll come home and from college and then we'll bake cookies and we'll go shopping and everything's great. And then when she leaves, I'm like sad realizing that she's texting her behind me and, you know, this relationship is still going on.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is are we handling it the right way?
Yeah. You know what? I think you are. I think you're doing the best that you can. I mean, maybe Alice and Dave have a couple of hints or something, but I think, you know, I have so many phone calls about this very particular issue, and I think you just do the best that you can, and here you are, you're still in her life.
Yep.
I think one of the dilemmas is that you want something to have an impact on her. You want baking cookies, you know, that something would cause her to say, man, this is the life I want and I want to change. And there are those who they wake up one morning and they say, wait, this isn't who I am, and they go back to, you know, the way it used to be and all that. But those are very, very rare situations. And anybody, you know, that would tell you differently, they're not really being truthful with you. So I think you are handling
that doesn't,
it.
That doesn't give
well.
Me a lot of hope.
No, it doesn't. But it's reality. See, it's reality.
But she wasn't. I mean, she dated guys before this. Like,
sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't. I mean,
okay. Okay.
She's beautiful.
And so,
she's feminine. She's. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't even understand it. Like,
right.
Well,
but all of that doesn't erase the fact that she got into this relationship, and things that she wasn't accustomed to, she learned about. Things that she never even had been exposed to, probably. And this is now a long-term relationship. So I just want you to deal with the reality of it. But I think you're, you know, given the reality that you have there, I think you're doing as well as could be expected that any parent would do in handling this. Dave, your thoughts,
sir? It's a tough balance between accepting the person as the person that they are and not accepting the behavior. And so it's okay to set some limits on behaviors, but somehow you still need to assure her that you love her and are connected to her and care about her and that. And it's difficult. It's not easy. And I don't know if there's support groups for parents in that situation, but there ought to be. But you need to have support just in terms of what you're going through from other couples and other people that
care for you.
But what
happens if she, I mean, she's, okay, so she's 21, 22 now. When she gets older, I mean, are we going to lose a relationship? Because, I mean, and how long can we say, if she continues in this, that we don't want you to bring this person over? Like, I mean, people are adults. Like, how long can you tell them that that's not okay to bring them into our house? You know, she's not a little kid anymore.
Well, I think that's legitimate because of how you feel about it, and that's behavior you're talking about. But somehow you've got to hold on to her as your daughter, and it's a delicate balance, and it's not easy. But if you know, it depends on where it goes and what it develops into, and it may develop into a restoration of her life as a heterosexual because she runs the course and this person moves on to somebody else. There's a lot of unknowns, and so don't lose touch with her. because you don't know the outcome as to what's going to happen.
Alice, do you have
okay
any thoughts
not
here?
To have her bring this other person over then, right? That's okay. I'm almost like tempted to say, forget it. Just bring her over that way because I get to see her less this way because of this.
Well,
Debbie, I actually think you're right. I think you will risk losing relationship with your daughter if you're not willing to have any contact at all with this person who is significant in her life. And I think you can do that without leaving your beliefs behind you. You have taught your children well. I mean, goodness, you have invested so much in them. You've homeschooled all of your kids. I can understand why this would be so devastating, and you don't know what to do or how to handle it. But I want you and your husband to prayerfully consider being open to some communication with your daughter's partner. And if you don't feel comfortable bringing her in the home, would you be willing to meet them on campus? Would you be willing to have a meal with them? Because I think you'll be a better influence for a longer period in your daughter's life and maybe in her partner's life if you are willing to have some contact with them if it's limited. What do you think about that?
It's so hard because I'm still, like, you know, angry about it.
Sure. But, you know, here's the thing. Here's a concept that we all know. When you push against the relationship at all costs, then she tends to be drawn to the relationship as kind of a defense of her own ability to choose. When you do what Alice does, and it's very difficult to make this step, but if you do that, you don't endorse the relationship. You're just being a nice person here, but you kind of take away that desire to establish myself as an adult, and here's the way I'm going to do it with this relationship that I have. But if you decide not to do that, don't feel any blame or shame, because here's the other thing. She wants you to accept her, right? Right? She needs
right
to accept
she, I mean,
you. She needs
she's
to.
She's fine with our. My daughter's fine with our relationship. She doesn't even bring up this other person. Doesn't even mention her. It's like she doesn't exist.
Yeah, but we're talking about in the future. If this comes up, that in the future, mm-hmm, if it comes up when she's older, you've got a decision that you'll have to make there. And
right.
I'm just glad that you have maintained the relationship now, because you have a chance to influence her life. Who knows whether or not this relationship she has is going to last another day, week, month, year. You know, it's all so unknown.
Right. And that's the part I don't like.
Debbie, I want you to consider that Jesus associated with all sorts of people. He didn't keep his distance from sinners. He influenced them by coming alongside them. So I want you to think about three things quickly here. You can say one more time, you know our stance and our beliefs to your daughter, but we want relationship with you, and we're even open to getting to know. We want to get to know your partner because she's important to you. We're going to come back, and I want to share two other thoughts that you can use moving forward.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Talking to Debbie. We're going to just finish up here. Either of you have anything? Well, I think, Alice, you said you wanted to address one more thing.
Yeah. Two more.
And let's just hope they're good. Okay, Debbie, hold on. All right, here we go.
Debbie, after acknowledging to your daughter that she knows what your beliefs are and your stance is, I think you need to tell her that you're not going to bring it up anymore. I think it will be so important to stop pushing because you have already educated her so well. And your best bet will now be to continue to focus on the relationship as you have been. And then I think you need to bring your anger, your justifiable anger, to other people. Not to your daughter, but I think you need to be talking about it with people that can sit with you in it and just hear you out without trying to get rid of it too quickly, because I think that will help resolve it and will help you maintain relationship with your daughter.
What do you think of that?
Over at this point, 8 months, like, I feel like that's a long time, like, to be still feeling really. I'm reading that book, Time to Choose to Heal. That's helping. But it's really, this is like, it's like a death to me. It's just so incredibly hard.
You have to grieve. There's things you've lost if it continues.
And the other question I had is, like, I have other kids, and they're adult children, and at least one of them is accepting both of them to come to his house. And then, so there's the aspect of division, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and, but yeah, my husband feels like we should not accept her into our family. That we're just going to make it easier for the relationship, and we don't want to make the relationship easier.
Well, you also don't want to fuel the relationship,
right?
If you don't have to. So, right. I know you were wanting an answer that would provide you more solid hope, more concrete hope. I've asked Dave to come up with that, but he's never been able to do it. And but none of us have. It just doesn't exist. And so you want to be sure you're getting the kind of support that you need and you deserve in going through this, because we hear the pain that you're having with it. And it does cause for some complex questions to be answered.
And you're certainly powerless in terms of the situation, Debbie, because that means you've got to really depend on the Lord and pray and get other people praying and don't give up.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Debbie, would you have your kids listen to this call?
Great idea. Yeah, maybe that would help them understand it a little bit better. I'm going to send her, Take Your Life Back, because it's a way to stay free no matter what kind of disappointment or struggle that you're going through, and that's going to be coming her way. Well, joining us, Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, talk to us.
Hey,
how
Steve.
You doing?
Doing good.
Hey, good.
We are in a 30th anniversary year, and we're not talking about that enough. 30 years is an amazing feat for any organization.
Amen.
But one that is driven for now over 20 years by donations is quite an accomplishment. And sometimes we don't know how it works. It's loaves and fishes that are multiplied, but God does amazing things. So I just want to encourage people, help us celebrate our 30th anniversary. And one of the big ways is joining Club New Life. It's $30 a month. That's just a dollar a day. And for $30 a month, there's some great benefits. I feel like a broken record, but I don't think I can say it enough. We're getting good response. People are joining. And part of the reason is we're given, as a thank you for joining, you get the complete series of the Arterburn Wellness Series. And those books each carry the title, Understanding and Loving a Person With. And then there's eight different issues, each with its own title.
And then you have access to our video library. It's another great benefit we've never done before.
There you go. And we've got a lot of videos up. And I was just noting, we have videos so far. We're going to be adding more. We've got Steve, Mylon, Kay, Chris, Sherry, Dave and Alice, and Jill will be up there soon. We have 10 network counselors who've done videos for us. And these are videos on topics all over the board. From
those are interesting. You were showing me some of those on the weekend, and yeah, it's great that, because these people are skilled in different areas, and we depend on them for the workshops.
Yeah,
that's great.
And would you say the quality's so decent?
No, the quality is they're well done.
they're really well done. Yeah. So can't encourage you enough. It means so much to New Life to know there's a base of support, and that base of support will allow us to keep doing what we do. That is, present this radio program, do our workshops, and just man a call center and help you, our audience, in any way that we can. We just want to help you when you're in a tough spot. Get out of that spot and find what God has in store for you. Understand His grace and His mercy and what tough love is, because it takes tough love and not just feeling sorry for you. You got to do some work. So $30 a month, if you'd sign, we need 6 people a day. Could you be one of those 6 people today and call up and join Club New Life? If you want to be one of the 10 or 12, that'd be great too. But yeah. Looking for new people.
You wouldn't reject anybody.
No, also looking for individual gifts. If you've never joined anything, never signed up, never given a gift, test us. Make a gift. See what you get. You're going to love being a part of the family.
One gift, and you go from being a consumer to being a participant in everything we do here. You're part of it. And every life we change, every person who's transformed, you're part of that. And all it takes is one gift, which starts with one phone call to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's all it takes. And the benefits of Club New Life are spectacular. And I tell you this, if you could go to one of our workshops and you could hear the testimonies, just testimonies we hear every time, the abuse that people have gone through, the transformation they experience, you'd want to be part of it. And I hope you will be. You do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could change everything.
Steve, as much as we're seeking help and continued help, I have to say thank you to people who are giving. We are a ministry that expresses gratitude, and I think we do it well. But I don't know that we could ever do it enough on the airwaves, because we spend a lot of time seeking help. And I just want to say thank you, because your gift makes a huge difference in the lives of people. Not just in our lives because we can pay the bills. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people whose lives will never be never be the same.
That's right.
It's amazing what this ministry, how God works through it.
It really is. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You will not be disappointed in the results that come from your support of New Life Ministries. Now, we've got some things coming up. Let me remind everybody, we've got a Life Recovery Conference that we're doing in Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. And this is one of those few things we do where it's just a conference. We don't have counselors and things like that. It's very affordable. You'll love it. It'll be a great boost to whatever step you're on or haven't stepped in yet. You can get some help. You just call us. Also, our featured resource, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal by Dr. Sherry Keffer. That's available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Yes, sir.
At that Life Recovery Conference, we are also that weekend going to have a 30th anniversary celebration. So
that's
I just
right.
wanted to remind
that's
people
the,
of that.
That's the night of the 18th. Is that right, that we do the celebration?
Yeah, Friday night, yes.
Yeah. So, boy, that'll be fun. And that's right there in the D.C. area. We would love to have you come and celebrate with us. All you have to do, find out more about that and everything that we do, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We appreciate your help. We want to help you deeper, richer, every day. Would you call us? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dr. Alice Benton, and all of you. See you next time right here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.